Sandstone, Veal 2. Yes, as you were saying, sleeping in your own bed, the importance of that.
How long? Well, we were already planning our marriage, and we married on the 1st of January 1941.
And what was life like before then? Had it changed very much?
It did. For instance, they burned our synagogue, the Germans, with the people inside. Opposite the synagogue was a church. And the priest opened the door. That was about 2 o'clock in the morning. He heard that there is a synagogue is burning, so he ran to his church, opened the door, in case somebody will run out of that inferno, and he did, quite a few people, he saved their life. And his name is Yad Vashem, the name of that priest, because he helped quite a few Jews to live.
What is his name?
I can't remember. I'm sorry. I can't remember. But, you know, when I went to Poland years later, I was in Poland for 5 years ago. So what was it, 85? Yes, anyway. And, of course, we went to our gymnasium. And Cardinal Lustiger, have you heard about him? He's a Jew. As a child, from our town, as a child, his parents put him in a cloister. And he was brought up as a Catholic. And he's a cardinal. But he's such a lovely man. He came to Benjamin when I was there. We were a group from Israel, actually. And I was the only one from England that joined him. And we went to Poland. That was the first time I went. I was very apprehensive, but I did go. Because with all my friends from my school, from my class. And when we were in the school, he came from Paris. He knew when we are in the school. He came from Paris with his nephew. He's my school friend. He's such a charming man. Remember, he talked to me and he was holding my hand on his heart. And I spoke to him for quite a while in Polish. And then he smiled. And then he said, I didn't understand the word he said. He doesn't know Polish, but he speaks perfect Hebrew. Well, they all have. So all this. He speaks Yiddish, he speaks German, English, perfect. But not Polish.
And yet he operates in Poland.
He lives in Paris.
All the time. Wow. But this burning of the synagogue, would you have seen that yourself?
No. It's the other side of our town. It's quite a long way, but we heard it in the morning.
Were there other restrictions put on you?
Have you got it, points on food? I remember my mother couldn't live without the lemon. She loved a piece of lemon. No lemons. No onions. There was funny enough those things, I remember. But that wasn't important. I was married, as I said. My parents had to leave the flat. And they got a little flat outside Benjamin, in Zichów, I think it was called. And I was always in one room somewhere. Can I have a cigarette?
Yes, you were saying about the increasing restrictions. But of course, when you were married in 1941, you were saying you were able to have a wedding. So you were able to get...
Yes, that was the last day that people from around Benjamin, Sosnowiec, Dąbrowa, Zawiercie, were allowed to come. They were allowed to travel. And the next day, the second of that, they wouldn't be able to. So every day there was something new. But But he still lived it. I was moved 9 or 10 times from one, because the Rene thing, you know, Judenrein means the streets clean of Jews. And at the very end, I was in the ghetto in Kamionka. Benzin was Judenrein.
So the ghetto was formed outside of Benzin, was it?
Mm. But you could walk there. Because when I said from Kamionka, I used to walk to Benzin to the shop. It was called shop, I don't know, shop. It's not a shop like an English shop. It was the fact that we were doing uniforms for the Germans, sewing. Like a huge sewing factory. And who worked there was a, didn't go to Auschwitz yet. If you didn't work, there was, for instance, how do you call it? All the Jews had to come to one place, for instance. Hundreds and hundreds, or maybe thousands. And then, if I had a card that I worked in the shop, I was excused. I wasn't sent to Auschwitz then. That was 41, 42, but 43 was the end of Kamionka as well.
And did your husband work as well?
Yes, he worked again in a something to do with wood. That was his business, actually, wood.
And what had happened to his business?
Oh, the Germans took it straight away. That was Katowice, and that was, even nearer to Germany. The Germans took it straight away.
How about your parents? How were they
living?
One
of the people that worked for my husband before the war was a front soldier. And I met him in Auschwitz in uniform as an Unterscharführer. But that is another story, a very interesting story. That was where I was already in Auschwitz over a year and a half.
Yes, I'll ask you about that when we get to Auschwitz. But your husband's business was taken from him, was it?
Yes, of course. And the same the mill, my father's mill, that was straight away taken.
So life must have been dramatically very different for you.
Oh, immediately different. But you were still alive. We as I said, every few months I had to move to a different place because that street already was Judenrein, so I was moved to another one. And I always had a room somewhere.
And you lived in the ghetto eventually?
That was the end. But while moving, there was one time I lived in the kitchen of my aunt. And I had an abortion in that kitchen. Because a few months after I was married, I got pregnant. Not a few months, but I'm talking about. If I wouldn't have had an abortion, the child would be 3 weeks when I went to Auschwitz. I wouldn't be here talking to you now. I went to a doctor, and he wasn't my doctor. My doctor, the one that brought me to the world, he was already dead. I went to a doctor that actually didn't know me. I don't know why he accepted that he would do the abortion in that little kitchen, but my aunt shouldn't know about it. My mother didn't know about it, only my aunt. And I had an abortion at night, because the doctors were still allowed to go up at night. No anesthetic, nothing. But he was, I remember he was always before the war, they made jokes about that doctor. He never shook hands with anybody. In case he'll be called somewhere and he won't have time to wash his hands. It was extremely clean. Everything had to be covered with white sheets. The oven, the floor, the table, of course, on the kitchen table he did it. And it was painful. And I still think it could have been a girl. I always wanted a girl. I had two brothers, two sons and four grandsons. That must have been a girl.
How far advanced were you?
I don't remember.
Had you started?
I must have missed one, I think two periods. And I was doing everything, jumping and all kinds of things, nothing helped. But two or even three, it was because I was still hoping that maybe I will lose the child without abortion, because I had no doctor. But about, I think, after the third or after the second time when I should have had my period, I went to the doctor. Farewell. I owe my life. He's dead. And, well, the abortion was successful.
Well, was it an easy decision to make, though, a straightforward decision?
Yes, I knew that I can't have a child now. I knew that I can't have a child. At that time, it was already nearly 43. It was 43 already. And we knew already about Auschwitz. At the beginning, we didn't. But we didn't know that they are burning parents. Because I wouldn't let my mother's hand go. They pushed me to the left and my mother was to the right and my father. So even there, being on the platform in Auschwitz, we didn't believe that my dad would take my parents to ask them. Being there. But then my mother forgot her belt on which she was wearing a dress, because it's not far from our town to Auschwitz is.
Yes, perhaps I ought to ask you when the story, if we could go back.
Yes,
here you are having the abortion, you know, which must have been very distressing, as you say, painful.
It was very painful. But I knew, and a friend of mine also was pregnant. She also went to the doctor. He wouldn't do it. She was family. It was his family, she was his sister's daughter, I think, and he wouldn't do it. And she, her child was about 3 weeks when she came to Auschwitz. She didn't leave the child away, and she went with the child. My mother didn't know about it, only my aunt. My aunt was holding one leg. But there was no stirrups to put with it. And a nurse from a Jewish hospital that my grandfather was chairman there was a very religious. I told him that my grandfather was very religious, but they didn't know that I had an abortion. So one leg was that nurse, the other leg was my auntie, and I remember I was counting. I still count if I have a pain. Any pain, I count. But I had not long ago a hip operation, and when I walk, it hurt. So I counted. In the street, I count. It must be from since then. It helped to count.
Did you have a lot of discomfort afterwards?
No. It was perfect. It was perfect. And I had a child afterwards. Because I told every gynecologist that I saw later that I had an abortion. And as far as I know, Norman, my first son, is the first child born to somebody from Auschwitz that survived. I was on so many tablets, I remember, and I was in the nursing home, I was 3 weeks. I wasn't allowed to put my legs down. Nowadays, you get up the second day. But we both lived. So, because quite a few of my friends, the first child died. We didn't have a period in Auschwitz anymore. They were giving us something not to have it, which was a blessing, by the way, because you couldn't have it if you would have had that. I had a slip, I remember. When I came to Auschwitz, I got a slip and a dress. And after I can't remember, a month or 2 months, I was only left with the two, how do you call it?
The straps.
The straps, because I used it going to the toilet. I always thought of yourself. Later on, you don't use anything, you don't need anything. We only think we need anything. Animals don't use any toilet paper. But,
so
if no, just was lucky. But it's also an interesting story how I did get my period in Auschwitz.
Yes, perhaps.
I'm not in Auschwitz yet.
Yes, but perhaps. Yes, perhaps we ought to wait until to do that with Auschwitz. Do you think? Yes, but we mustn't forget. So the deportations. When did they start?
At night, from 31st or the 1st of August. That night, on the 1st of August, 43, I came to Auschwitz. That night. We went, that was in Kamionka already, the ghetto. There was always somebody on the roof looking out for the Germans. And there was, I remember, Richard Gary, who lived in America, died not long ago. He worked with Salk, the one that skinny ago. He studied after the war, I didn't. And so we ran to my parents because they had a bunker where they lived, not far. And we were in the cellar. I don't know how many we were there, but there was a child there as well. And in the morning, the child was crying really loudly. We couldn't stop it. And the Germans heard it. And why did there was no door? How did we get into the bunker? There was like a little window. Just above the pavement, because I know that when they were pulling me out, my brother was out first. He was pulling my legs, but I had very long hair. I had hair up to here, nearly my knees. Somehow they get untangled, and a few people were standing on my hair, and I was shouting to my brother not to pull me now because the people. Anyway, he did pull me out. And from there we went to the train, which was very far, and the journey to Auschwitz couldn't have taken more than half an hour maximum, maybe 40 minutes. It's very near. But on the way, my father noticed that my mother hasn't got a bag on her dress, and he wanted her to look nice. He knew that if you look nice, if you look young. But she was 50, and that is old. That was old, not now. And I remember he gave another girl, a woman, money for a bag. And she gave my mother a bag that she really looked lovely, but 50. And when we arrived, I can't remember if we traveled in those animal things or we traveled in a normal train. It couldn't have been a normal train because we were too many, so it couldn't have been a normal train. But those times you had small apartments, it wasn't like now. So it must have been the same as I traveled to Ravensbrück, to another camp. It was from, you know, from animals without a roof. And then from Ravensbrück, which is in the north of Germany, to Zwodau, Czechoslovakia. Always it was open. Anyway, we came to Auschwitz, we were on the platform, and there was a lot of shouting. For instance, the prisoners, Jews, were, for instance, taking children from mothers. It sounds terrible, doesn't it? But by taking the child away, he saved the mother. But very few mothers gave the child. That's why they screamed. But maybe some gave. And the children, they didn't just put them in an open lorry, a huge open lorry. They coated the hand by the Germans. That was the Jews. The Jews only took the children away so that the woman would be safe. It was a young woman. And the children were thrown by a leg into the lorry, which was quite high. You know, a lorry is quite high. It's like Well, I can't even compare it to anything. And I was next to my father and my mother. My brother, both of my brothers, went with the first train. So I only had my mother and my father. And I was next to them. And every time they put me away, Jews again, prisoners, they put me, but they were trying to show that they were cruel to the Germans. But what they wanted is to save a young woman's life. I was with my sister-in-law. My sister-in-law was my Latin teacher. My brother married his own teacher. She was Latin teacher. And that's how I came to Auschwitz, with my sister-in-law. And she really took care of me in the beginning because I was just a spoiled brat. That little piece of bread that we got, I didn't want to eat because it stung, they said. So she used to give her soup. She used to give her piece of bread for some soup so that I have got something, that I will have the soup. The soup was water and some peas from potatoes. She was really, really looking after me.
Going back to your arrival.
She didn't recognize me at my arrival. They take us to shave. And as I said, we had to undress naked. But I had a lot of hair around me, so I wasn't so, you know, I wasn't so, you know, I had hair in front and back because it was very long. And when they took me, of course they cut my hair, they shaved my hair. When I came out, my sister-in-law approached me, "Is Hala still there?" And I said, "Laura, it's me." Because, you know, you're shaving. And then the number. And then they give you that dress and slip. And no shoes. No shoes. We had to be barefoot because we went to Birkenau. And the first, they said 6 weeks, but we stayed months in Birkenau. I'm not allowed to have shoes. Case we ran away, you couldn't run away from the Birkenau, barefoot. And again, that spoiled brat. I couldn't even walk on a carpet barefoot.
This number, were you tattooed?
Yes. You can see it. It was from here to here. I took it out only because I was in England. People didn't know what it is. I was in the bus. But I think it's my telephone number. And I've got one photograph with my number. Did I give it to him? I must find it. When my mom was born, I had a photograph taken. And there is, you know, that I can't say the name, this is Mount Anna from 2020. It's 51115. And the little triangle underneath, that is Jewish.
Did you have your photograph taken as well?
No. But I heard that some people had photographs taken. No. Anyway, I don't remember. Maybe. I don't think so, because a friend of mine, she lives in Israel, she went to Auschwitz and she saw a photograph of her father. Did you hear about the 2,500 photographs they found in Auschwitz? You heard about it. It's a mystery. Nobody knows. It's impossible. I didn't have a photograph on me. You didn't go to Auschwitz, like, for instance, in France or in Holland. They told them, I think, beforehand, you go tomorrow, we're taking the Auschwitz. They had suitcases. We had nothing. They took us out from a cellar. So I didn't. I wasn't in my nightgown. I could have been in my nightgown. But where did they get those 2,500 photographs? They're in America now. I looked for quite a lot of them. And there is a photo, a friend of mine in America, Yaja, the one that was in Siberia. She was in America now. She worked in the, what is it called? Like a museum in Washington. She worked for 6 weeks. and she found a lot of photographs in there, and I have some. One, me and my husband. It's in the, she said, when you open the door, just open, if I go to Washington, it's up on the opposite wall from the door. Anyway, that is a mystery. I'm trying not to think about it anymore, because it's impossible. One of my friends said they were, that when we left Kamyonka, that there were a few Jews left to clear up. That they, by clearing up, they collected the photographs, had them in one suitcase or box. That's what a friend of mine, he lives in Germany. He says that he thinks that is where the photographs came from.
Because they're all of different families, are they, and people?
So holiday photographs. A lot of from holidays photographs. But who would go to Auschwitz? Nobody goes to Auschwitz, but he's taken to Auschwitz. And would say, stop a minute, I have to take a photograph with him. Where did they thought they could only have been in the flats, left in the flats. And as maybe he's right, and as those few Jews were collecting clothes for the Germans, because all that was sent to Germany, maybe they put it in one case. But how did they get to Auschwitz? How did they get to Auschwitz? Who took a suitcase of photographs to Auschwitz? It was found in Auschwitz. So it's a mystery. I don't know if you will ever know. I don't know if you will ever know. But it bothers you. You want to know because it's such a private thing, photographs. And somebody would collect photographs, put them in a one case box. But how did they get? Well, that is all right. Up to here, it's all right. But how did they get to Auschwitz?
Yes. When were they found? What? How long ago were they found? Those photos?
Oh, it was quite a few years after the war. Yes. Quite a few years.
Yes.
Anyway,
when you arrived at Auschwitz, you were saying you were with your mother and father, mm-hmm. but you were pulled away mm-hmm. by the Jewish people who were helping doing prisoners. Yes. Did you see your parents go? Were you able to?
March. Yes, I've seen them go, but I still didn't think that I'm going to be burned. And when I was already in my block. How stupid can one be? I was still hoping my parents, my father, would take me somehow out from here.
Where was your husband?
My husband. Where was my husband? He wasn't in the cellar because. What am I talking about? I'm just saying now, you know, when we were running away, they were out together. Who was with me?
So you were all on the same transport?
Yes. On the same transport.
Yes. And what happened to him at the selection?
Oh, well, he was a young man. He and my brothers went to the camp. And in the camp, they met a cousin of mine from Krakow. And the first thing he told them, remember the date today. That will be the anniversary of your parents' death. That was here. He came to Auschwitz before us. And that's what I remember. My brother used to tell me that, and my husband was my brother. And he said, now remember the day today. That is the anniversary of your parents' death.
Tape was